Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 4 lines from the top of Daf Nun Aleph. We begin with a question. Bo mine me Rav Chisto. The question Bo mine Rav Chisto means they asked of Rav Chisto a question. Mi she'ocha v'shosu v'lo birech, mahu she'yachzor v'yavorech. Someone who ate and drank without having made a brocha, can he in the middle of his eating make a brocha? In other words, as far as the continuation of the eating, should he make a brocha? Or simply say, well, since I started without a brocha, I might as well just continue that way. Omer lehu, so Rav Chisda answers, Mi shochal shum v'recho noidef. Someone who ate shum, let's assume that shum is translated as garlic, and it's generally accepted that the scent, or the garlic smell that one emits through his breath after having eaten garlic is unpleasant. So the analogy, he says, one who has eaten garlic and his breath smells poorly, yachzor v'yochal shum acher kedei she'yeh recho nodef, should he eat more garlic to improve the smell? Obviously, no. So someone who started eating without a brocha, should he continue eating without a brocha? Of course not. In the middle of the eating, if he's going to continue eating, so now he should make a brocha, at least on the rest of the food. Omar Ravina, Hilkoch, Afilu Gomar Sudaso Yachzor V'Yavorech. Well, according to what you're saying, then even after he finished the meal, he should make a brocha. Tisanya, and Ravina cites an analogy for this suggestion. Toval Viola, a person who had required Tevila. There are different examples of people who may require Tevila. An example of that would be someone who is a convert, or someone who was a Baal Keri, a person who had a male who had a semen emission. So before he immerses in a mikveh, he's not fit for making brachas. A Baal Keri is also b'divrei Torah. So the halacha says that Toval V'Ola, he immersed, now comes out of the mikveh, finished with the mikveh, Omer Be'Olia, so he says upon his rising from the mikveh, Baruch HaShir Kitshono, B'mitzvah Sovetzivana Ala Tvila, he makes the bracha post facto. So too, should we not say the same thing with someone who ate, finished eating, he should still make a bracha. The Gemara answers, V'lohi, the analogy that Ravina is trying to make between eating food, in other words, completing a meal, and someone who completed his immersion in the mikveh, is not an accurate analogy. Hasam meikora gavra lo chazi. In the case of the immersion in the mikveh, the person was not fit at the outset to make a bracha. In other words, only upon rising from the mikveh, emerging from the mikveh, this is the first time he becomes fit for making a bracha. Therefore, first opportunity, so make a bracha, even though you've already immersed. Hacha, in the case of the food, meikara gavra chazi, he originally was a person who was fit. He simply didn't make the brocha, but he had been fit. As a result, now that he's finished the meal, we say, v'hayol v'idchi, now that he's cast away by having completed his meal, idchi, he is pushed away and does not have any more opportunity to make a brocha over the food that he finished eating. Here we have a passage that deals with a particular food item and its benefits for healthful purposes. Tono Rabbonon, asparagus. We in Gemara Markings do not translate food items and animals and plants unless we have a very solid type of Masorah tradition on these matters. For those who are interested, there are very fine translations available and dictionaries that one can investigate some of these things, but we are not going to commit ourselves to things other than those that have a very solid and formal tradition. So we'll just refer to it in the Gemara using the Gemara term asparagus. Yofel alei v'tov leinayim is beneficial for the heart, good for the eyes, v'kol shekein livnei ma'ayin, and all the more so for one's digestive tract. The Rashi points out asparagus kois shohu shoisim b'chol boker, even though the word asparagus sounds very much like the English vegetable asparagus. Nevertheless, Rashi describes it as kois shoyu shoysu b'chol boker, is some type of beverage that they drank every morning, a libo reikona lirefua, on an empty stomach for healthful reasons. So this beverage is good for the heart, the eyes, and kol shekein l'nev, and all the more so for the digestive tract. V'rogil bo yofel l'chol gufo, one who is a regular with it is good for his whole body. V'mishtaker imenu kosher l'chol gufo, and one who becomes intoxicated with it, it's negative for his body. Midiktoni yofel alei, from the fact that this source says it's good for the heart, michlal de bechamro askin, we're talking about an asparagus beverage that has wine in it. Vekotoni vekol shekein lebnei ma'ayim, it also tells us that it's all the more so beneficial for the digestive tract. So you have an indication by the fact that we're talking about yofel alei, that it's a wine-based asparagus drink. And it also mentioned that it's all the more so good for the digestive tract. The Gemara asks, "V'atanya le'la'at yofe le'ramat kosher." These are abbreviations, but Rashi fills in the information. La'at is our abbreviation for lev, ayin, and tchoil, and ramat is abbreviation for rosh, me'ayim, and tachtonios. So in our markings, in the Gemara text, we've squiggled underlined the mem. So this is a source that tells us that something is good for the heart, because la'at was the lamed was the lave, and in the same context it says that it's negative for the mem in the ramat word, the me'ayim, negative for the digestive tract. So how do we resolve that with the source just before, which spoke about something that was good for the heart and also good for the me'ayim? The Gemara answers, ki tanyo hahi, the source that said all the more so good for the b'nei me'ayim, the miyushan, aged. It's wine that's miyushan. Rashi points out, based on the Gemara in Bava Basra, 3-year-old wine. Kidisnan. And the following source will bear this out. This source is from a somewhat unrelated topic, but we'll see how we tie things together. Someone says, "Koinim yayin shani toyim shayin koshiv ne me'ayim." Someone says he forswears benefiting from wine on the grounds that wine is bad for the digestive tract. Omru lo, so the listeners to this person vowing thusly said, "Valo miyushan yofehu livne me'ayim." Wine that's miyushan is good for the digestive tract. And this we dash along because this is what's relevant to our discussion. Here you see miyushan is yofeh for the digestive tract. V'shosak, and the person who vowed upon hearing this, he remained silent. The result of this is also b'chodesh umutu b'miyushan. He is forbidden to drink unaged wine, and permitted in drinking the aged wine, because his whole vow was based on the assumption that wine was negative. So if aged wine is positive, so he's not forbidden in that. Well, for our purposes, Shema, you know, we have a Tanaic source that the aged wine is the explanation behind the original source that said where we dashed on a kosh game, the b'nei me'ayim, where for b'nei me'ayim it was beneficial, the wine that's aged. Tonu Rabbonan. We have another source continuing with the asparagus. Shishavorim Nemru b'asparagus. 6 points are made in reference to asparagus. Ein shoysin oisoy elok shuchai umole. It's prepared with undiluted wine. That's chai. In other words, it's not diluted. mole, a full cup. Mekablo b'min v'shoseo b'smoil. One is to receive it in his right hand and drink it while holding it in his left hand. V'mesichin acharov. One should not converse afterwards. V'ein mafsikin bo. One should not pause in drinking it, but rather drink it in one shot. V'ein machzir noso elo lemisha nosnu lo. And one should not return it other than to the one that presented it to him. V'rok acharov. And one should expectorate afterwards. He should spit out afterwards. V'ein somchen osoi elo bemino. Somchen has to do with something next to. It means one should not eat afterwards anything other than what the asparagus is made from. The Gemara says, "Fahotanya." It asks here, "Ein somchen osel b'pas," that one does not have after the asparagus anything other than bread. And here you're telling me it has to be mino, its variety. Lo kashya ha b'dechamra ha b'deshichra. Rashi says, "B'dechamra, if it was an asparagus based on wine, or with a wine content, then have afterward bread. If it's a shechar, shechar is a beer-based asparagus, then depending on what the beer is made from, if the beer is fermented figs, so then have figs afterwards. If it's fermented dates, then have dates afterwards." Toni Chada, one source says, "L'la'at yofe l'ramat kosher." Now these abbreviations we already made a reference to in the Rashi, so you can, through our Gemara markings, you can see in the Rashi we have diamonds, so making easy reference to what these are, but nevertheless the two sources that we just read are seemingly contradictory. Lo kasha, there is no contradiction. Ha b'dechamra, ha b'deshichra. If it's b'chamra, so that regarding the wine-based, b'chamra is wine-based asparagus, so that will be the source. So the first source that said l'la'at yofe, and the obviously the other source that says l'ramat yofe, that will be the beer-based asparagus. Toni chado, one source says rok acharov loike, that one who spits afterwards, after consuming the asparagus, he will be loike, means he will become sick. Tanya idoch lo rok acharov loke, and the other source says that if he doesn't spit afterwards, he will get sick. Lo kashya, once again, no contradiction. Ha b'dechamra, ha b'deshichra. After the wine based one, he's lo yorok. He should not spit after that. After the beer based one, so Rashi says b'deshichra im lo rok. If he doesn't spit, mayim haboyim b'fiv achrov loke, then he'll get sick. So after the beer-based one, he is supposed to spit. Omar Vashi, hashto de amris lo rok achrov loke. Ravashi says that now that we're telling you that the spitting is necessary for one's health, and if he doesn't spit after drinking it, he will get sick. Meimov nizrokan afilu b'fnei hamelech. One can do this even if he's in front of a king. And in other words, where even though dignity and proper respect must be maintained in the presence of a king, but not at the expense of one's own health. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new topic and markings, and under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we've indicated the diamonds are Inyonei Brius HaNefesh, Shenilmudu Mi Malochim, different aspects of health that are learned from different angels. So you see with our markings, we have Sochli Suril Sarapnim, and then Sochli Malachamoves. The Gemara. Omar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Shlosh Dvarim Sochli Suril Sarapnim. This is the name of a, Rashi says, Malach Choshuv Lovo Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Might be worth noting parenthetically that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was featured in the first perek, where we saw a Tanaic source featuring him. He was a Kohen Gadol entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he was of such a lofty status that he was able to perceive the divine presence in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, in the Holy of Holies of the Temple on Yom Kippur. So it shouldn't come as any surprise to us that we see this great this towering Tanaic figure having contact with angels. And we should also note, marking-wise, that the following sections of the Gemara we are calling in our markings long points. So we have a nun that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, one over here, and a few lines later, you'll see this under where the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi appears. So here you have Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi ben Elisha telling us, three things this Malach told him. One, Al titoil chalukha b'shachus miyana shamash v'tilbash. One should not take one's chalukha, is one's garment in the morning, from the shamash, the servant, and wear it. In other words, take it yourself. Don't take it from the hands of a servant. Rashi says, "Atav atzmocha tlei mimokav shu shama tibesh." Take it from wherever the clothing were lying overnight. You take it yourself. The alti tol yodcha mimi shelo nata yodav, and don't allow your hands to be washed by someone who himself didn't wash his own hands. The al tachsir kois aspargus alami shenosnu loch, and likewise, one should not return the cup of asparagus other than to the one that gave it to you. And this is there's a reason. Mitmeshe tachsvisis v'amila estalginis shel malochei chabola mitzabonu le'odem, because there are two expressions here. Tachsvis, Rashi says, shem chabura shedim, it's a name of a group of demons, and estalginis is a reference to shem chaburas malachei chabola, angels that are destructive. So in either one, either it's a group of Shadim or it's a group of Malachi Chabola that are Metzapin lo le'odem, that are just looking upon a person, waiting for a person, the Omrim, and say, Emos Hayovo Odom li'odi, or li'dei echod midvorim halolo vilakad. When will a person fall into the trap of one of these things and be entrapped? It might be worth noting, though it may be obvious to all of you, that this the connection between this Gemara and whatever was before had to do with the cup of asparagus. And we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow that appears above, where there was reference to this restriction in to whom you returned the cup of asparagus. The Gemara continues. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shlosh Advarim Sochli Malacham Oves. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is featured in Maseches Ksubis. If I'm not mistaken, at the end of the seventh parak, there is an incident involving Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and his contact with the Malach HaMoves, with the angel of death. So here you see we see him revealing three things that the Malach HaMoves told him. So Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shol Shedvorim Sochli Malach HaMoves, Al Titol Chalukha Shach Smiad Shamash V'Tilbash, the Al Titol Yodcha Mimi Shalonato Yodov. These two points are match the two points that we saw just before in the previous diamond, and you'll notice with our markings, the one and the two have the same shape around them. We have little triangles around them to show how they match each other. Now, number three is different. The Al Tamod Lifnei Hanosh B'Shosha Choizutz Min Ames, and the Malach HaMoves says, don't stand in front of a group of women as they are coming back from a funeral. Because I, the Malach HaMoves says, the angel of death, I am dancing in front of them. And my sword is in my hands. And I have permission to kill anybody that I should want. And if one does meet up with a group of women on their return from a funeral, what is his solution? Now, it's obviously a dangerous situation according to what we just learned. So, Linshof Miduchte Arba Amos. He should jump from his position four Amos. Iiko Naro Lavri. If there's a river, then cross it. Viiiko Dargachrina. If there's another path, Lazel Bay. Go, Lazel Ball. Go on that other path. Viiiko Guda Leku Achura. If there's a wall, stand behind it. The E low, and if you don't have any of these options, Lahadir Ape, turn away, Velemo, and say the following. Vayomer Hashem el Asotan, Yigar Hashem Becho, Vechule. Recite that pasuk, where Hashem says to the Sotan that there is wrath upon the Sotan, and Ad Chalfi Mine, until the group of women passes. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic at hand, and under our topic heading, we've written Hanhogas v'halochas hakshurus l'koyis shel bracha, different practices and laws that are tied to the koyis shel bracha. This is the cup over which one would recite a zimun, a birchas hamazon. Omar Rabbi Zera Omar Avov Yamri Law b'masni satana. Some have Rabbi Zera as the presenter of this. Some have it as a Tanaic source. And it would read as follows: Asara Dvarim Nemru B'Koyis Shel Bracha. There are 10 points made in connection with the Koyis Shel Bracha. Ta'un, it requires Hadocha, Ushtifa. Now, these terms, Hadocha and Shtifa, are explained a few lines later in a Tanaic source, and you can actually see where the Gemara itself elaborates on many of the points mentioned here. We will feature them with double underlines as we go on in the Gemara later. So in the meantime, let's just read through the source and wait for the Gemara to explain these points. So the Koyis Shel Bracha requires Hadocha and Shtifa, has to do with rinsing the kli, Chai, Umole, Itur, V'ituf, Notlo B'Shtei Yodav, V'Nosnu V'Yamin, U'Magbiu Min HaKarka Tefach, V'Noisin Ein Of Bo, V'Yeshomrim Af Mishagul B'Matona L'Anshei Beisai. We'll go over, Mir Tzashem, each one of these points as we go on in the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Onu Ein Lanu Ela Arba'o Bilvad. There are a list of the list of 10, we have only 4 that we practice. Hadocha Shtifa, Chai, Umole. Now we get into the explanation of these things. First of all, the term Koyis Shel Bracha, Rashi says, Birchas HaMazon. It's the cup that we're using for the benching, for the Birchas HaMazon. Tana, the source says Hadoch, and the double underline, as we mentioned, these are under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. You can see we've featured a double underline, and if we've written Havlotas HaHalochas Shem Muzkaros B'Makor, we're going to be highlighting the different halochas that were mentioned in this source. Hadocha, that's me b'fnasu, with rinsing the cup out. Make sure the cup that you're using is clean. So rinse it out from within. Ushtifa equals mi b'chutz. That's a washing from the outside. We should glance at the Tosis before we go further. Tosis mentions shtifa mi b'chutz, v'adocha mi b'fnim. Upirish ri dafka she'en ha'koyis yofe. The requirement of this rinsing is only if the cup is not clean. She'esh bo shiru kosas. There are crumbs left in the cups. Aval im hu yofe belavochi. If the cup is clean anyway, shapir domi, then it's fine. The lebuin in elashe koyis shel bracha yofe. The goal is what is of concern for us, not going through the motions of rinsing, but rather having a clean cup. The Gemara continues. Omar v'Yochanan, kolam b'vorech al kois mole, noisnin loy nachlo b'li mitzorim. Anyone who makes a cup, a brocha over a full cup, he also is, measure for measure, he receives a bounty or inheritance without bounds. Also an expression of fullness. Shenemar, umaloi b'richas Hashem, yom v'yor v'dorom yorosha. Number 2, Rabbi Yossi ber Bichanina Omer, Zoyche v'Neuchel Shnei Oilomim, Oilom Hazeh v'Oilom Haba. He will merit inheriting 2 worlds, this world and the world to come. The Tosfos points out how Rabbi Yossi ber Bichanina sees this in the in this pasuk. The pasuk that was quoted in number 1, Rabbi Yossi ber Bichanina sees his teaching in that pasuk. We continue in the Gemara, itur. Now, the word itur has to do with something like the word atorah. Atorah is a crown, something that surrounds. A crown surrounds a head. So we're going to be dealing with the concept of surrounding. So, itur, we have 2 opinions here. Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda, Matreo B'Talmidim. Rabbi Yehuda would have his students sitting around in a circle around where he was going to lead the benching. Rav Chisda ma'ater le benatli. Rav Chisda had surrounded the Koyis Shel Bracha with other cups. The next expression, you can see the double underline, Chai, Omar Rav Sheshes, Ad Birkas Ha'oretz. That means you would fill up you would have a cup with undiluted wine in it, and it would remain undiluted during the first bracha of the Birchas HaMazon. In other words, the Zimun and Brichas Hazon would be cited, would be recited with using undiluted wine, and then when a person reaches Birchas Haaretz, he would add water, thereby diluting it. Ituf, the word ituf, Rav Papa me'atef v'yosiv. Rashi says me'atef b'taliso. In other words, he would wrap his head in his talis. Talis is a, we can assume it's a garment. It might be also referenced to something that we're familiar with as a type of cloak that we wear with tzitzits on it. But it's a function of cloaking his head in his garment. So that's Rav Papa's approach. Rav Asi poris sudra al reshe. Rav Asi, on the other hand, placed a turban on his head when reciting the Birchas Hamazon. Notlo b'shtei yadav. This also was one of the points mentioned above, that he would take the cup in two hands. Amri b'chinyino bar baba maikra. What's the pasuk indicating to take the cup, the kosher bracha, with two hands? The pasuk says su yedechem kodesh u'brachas Hashem. The word yedechem is in the plural, so that means your hands will raise the cup, and then you say the bracha. That's, in other words, you're taking it in two hands in order with anticipating saying the bracha. However, when the bracha is actually recited, v'noisnoi liyamin, during the recitation of the bracha, you're holding it in one hand, you're holding it in your right hand. Amr b'chia bar Abba, Amr b'yochanan, rishonim shalu, the early ones, ask the following question. Smoil ma'al shetaseya liyamin. Can the left hand support the right hand? So that you have the imagery here so far is, person raised the Kosher Bracha with two hands, and then holds the cup in his right hand, and the question is asked, can his left hand support his right hand from below? Amar Rav Ashi, Hoyov Rishonim Ibaya Lahu, Velo Ifshit Lahu, since the early ones raised the question but did not resolve the question, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Anan Navid Lechumra. And we will practice a stringency. Rashi at the top says, Anan Navid Lechumra, Shelo Tiseya Smol Yamin B'Shas Brocha. And that the left hand should not support the right hand during the Brocha. Umagbiyo Min Akarka Tefach, Omer of Acho B'Rbchanino, my crow. What's the posik indicating that the cup should be a tefach, a hand breadth, over above the ground? Omer of Acho Bar Chanino, my craw. What is the pasuk? Kais Yeshua says Sa uveshem Hashem ekraw. So the pasuk indicates that the cup is Esa, means raised, and then the bracha is recited. V'noisein einov boi. The idea of one should be looking at it. Ki hechid lo nisuch adai teminei, so that he doesn't lose concentration on it. So focus. It's an issue of focusing on the cup. And the last of the points mentioned was to send it to Anshe Beiso, is an expression referring to one's wife, because literally it means the members of his household, but we'll see in the following story that it's in reference to one's wife. One should, after making the brocha, after the Birchas Hamazon, he should give the cup of wine to his wife to drink from. Why? Ki hechi detisborach devisu, so that his wife is blessed. In other words, that there is blessing through the drinking of the cup of wine that was used for the bracha. And now we have an incident, a very colorful incident, that begins here. We have a long marking. You can see the Maisa word is written to the right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dash line indicating the length of this incident. Ula iklo lebei Rav Nachman. Ula visited the house of Rav Nachman. Korach Rifta. They had a meal together. Borach Birchas Mezona. Then they recited the Birchas Hamazon after the meal. Yov lekosa the Birchasa the Rav Nachman. And Ula, who led the benching, very likely because he was the guest, and we have learned in previous Gemaras that Oreach Mevorech. So he gave the cup to the Balabais, to Rav Nachman. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, "Lishner mor kosa de birchasa liyalta." I want you to give the cup of wine. Send it to Yalta. That was Rav Nachman's wife. Her name was Yalta. Amalei. So Ula said, basically said, why should I send it to her? Hochi Amar Rav Yochanan. Thusly, says Rav Yochanan, Ein pri bitno shel ish, o misporech, elo mi pri bitno shel ish. The woman's fruitfulness will come to be only through the her husband, literally the pre bitno, the fruits or the seed of the man. Shenema uvorech pri bitnecha. Pre bitno lo nemar ala pre bitnecha. The pasuk says the blessing will be through your seed, not the woman's seed, but through your seed. In other words, the man's seed will be responsible for the woman's fruitfulness. Tanya nami hachi, and there's a Tanaic source that supports Ula's contention. Rabbi Nosson Omer, minan shein pri bitno shel isha mizborach elo mi pri bitno shel ish. From where do we know that a woman's fruitfulness comes about only through the seed of her husband? Shenema uvorech pri bitnecha. This is in the pre bitnecha is in the masculine form. In other words, the second person, male, your seed will be blessed. Pre bitno lo nemar, pre bitnecha. The pasuk doesn't say her seed, rather says your seed. So that we see that blessing comes, although the manifestation of blessing is through the birthing of the woman, it comes to be through the seed of the husband, of the man. Adahochi, in the meantime, Shoma Yalta heard this, and she disapproved. She disapproved of what was taking place. Rashi says, "Shoma Yalta Shelo Yishagelo Koishel Brocha." She heard that Ula had no intention of giving her the cup to drink. Koma Bazihara. She arose in wrath. Also, the Beichamra. She went to the wine cellar, where Beichamra, literally the house of wine, which is where the wine was stored. The Tavra Arba Meyadoni the Chamra. She went ahead and smashed 400 barrels of wine. It's interesting how this vast number of wine barrels was also featured in the first perek, where we saw Rav Huna had many hundreds of barrels of wine go bad as a result of his not dividing out branches to his sharecropper. Omar Le, Rav Nachman is just, you can imagine, he's beside himself. He said, Nishtar lo mor kosa achrina. Let's send her another cup. Sholach lo kol hai navga de birka sahi. So he sent to her that all the wine, navga is the barrel, all the wine that comes from the barrel is also connected to the brocha, to the koshel brocha. The Rashi says on the third line from the top, "Kol hai navgo de bruchos ahi, kol yayin shibuchavis, all the wine in the barrel, kikoshel brocha hu shti mimeno, so drink from it." Sholcha lei, so she sends back, mi mahaduri mili, umi smartuti kalmi. Very, very sarcastic comment. Well, take a look at Rashi, mi mahaduri mili. From those who travel from city to city, a reference to guests, very likely. So there's always a lot of talk. And umi smartuti kalmi, Rashi says, umi mishachake begodim beluyim, from worn out garments, umi murotim yarbu kinim, there will be an increase of lice. Everyone can offer their own interpretations to this for the time being. We are giving you the translation, and you can see that she's not impressed with all of the talk that's going around about her not her yes or not receiving the cup of wine, and she doesn't seem to be at all impressed with the solution that Rav Nachman is suggesting. And you can see her low regard for the guest that her husband was hosting. Omer of Asi, Ein Mesichin al Kois Shel Brocha. Rashi says, Ein Mesichin Mishe'ochzo Achivra, from the time that the person who's going to lead in the Birchas HaMazon takes hold of the cup of wine, there is no more conversation until after the Brocha. The Omar Ravasi, another statement of Ravasi's, is Ein Mevorchin al Kois Shel Puronus. one does not make a brocha over the cup of retribution. My kos shapronos, what do you mean by that? Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, kos sheni. It has to do with a second cup. In other words, we're dealing with numbers. That if a person, let's say, drank one cup of wine, and then the second cup that he's going to drink is this one, so we're telling you, don't use a second cup as the kos shel brocha. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Tanaic source supports this. Hashosik Kiflaim lo yivorech. One who is drinking a double, and it was a second cup, so he shouldn't use it as a kos shel brocha. Mishum shenemar, it says in the pasuk, he koin nikras alakach Yisrael, b'hai lo misken. A person should prepare himself. Rashi says he koin nikras alakach b'dvarim noim v'lo b'dvarei peronis. What we haven't explained is what is the problem behind this. So Rashi explains, Koisheni shu shel zugos. Zugos means even numbers or pairs. V'oimed me'al shuchano v'shosi zugos. A person who, let's say, gets up from the table after having drunk a second cup, in other words, after having drunk two cups. Nizok ayadei shedim. So the demons can have a negative effect on such a person. The Gemara in Pesachim in the last parak has a much more elaborate discussion over this issue of zugos, and for our purposes, though, it's something in the, we'll call it in the more abstract or mystical realm. So one, the Gemara is saying one should avoid using a kos shel brocha, and in general one should avoid having only two cups. If one, there in the Gemara says, if a person drank two cups, make sure to drink a third cup. Omar Rabbi Avo, the Amri Lo B'Masi Satana, another version is, it's taught in a Tanaic source, Ha'oichel U'Mahalech, a person who ate while walking. Mevorech Mumot, when it comes to the Birchas HaMazon, so he should do that while standing. In other words, it should be one stage of less activity. So if the eating was in while actively walking, so the bracha should be standing. If a person ate while standing, then mivorech mushav. His bracha should be sitting. Ukshuhu meisav yochel. However, if a person ate while reclining, yoshev umivorech, he should sit up for the recitation of the bracha, because it could be assumed that reciting a bracha in a reclining fashion would be lack of respect and say seriousness that is due to a bracha. V'ilchasa b'kulu yoshev u'mavarech. The Gemara, however, rules unlike the source and says that in all cases a person should be seated for the recitation of the Birchas HaMazon. That is the end of the seventh perek, and at this point we continue with the eighth perek of Maseches Brochas. The eighth perek opens up with a very long Mishnah, which will cover the very short perek of this Masech, the eighth perek. Eilu Dvorim Shebein Beishamay Ubein Beisil Besuda. The following are points of difference between these two schools of thought, the school of Beishamay versus that of Beisil, regarding matters related to a meal. Beishamay Omrim Mevorech Al Hayom V'Achakach Mevorech Al Hayayin. When it comes to Kiddush, so one, according to Beishamay, shall say the bracha first of the sanctification of the day, and afterwards the bracha over the wine. The Bori Priya Gechen Brocha. Beisil Omrim Mevorech Al Hayayin V'Achakach Mevorech Al Hayom. Beisil says just the opposite. First the Brocha over the wine and then over the day. Beishamay Omrim Notlin Yadayim V'Achav Mozin Sakois. Beishamay says one will first wash his hands and then fill up the cup of wine. Beisil Omrim Mozin Sakois V'Achav Yadayim. This is the contrary. First fill up the cup of wine and then of course, the wine for the Kiddush, and then wash one's hands. Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai Omrim, Mekanech Yodo B'mapo, Umanicho Ala Shuchan. Beis Shammai says one wipes his hands with a cloth and places the cloth on the table. Beis Hillel Omrim, Al Hakeses, place it on the stool on which you're sitting. These points will be explained in the Gemara in much greater length. Rashi points out, we're talking about from the ones washing the hands at the beginning of a meal. So where do you place the cloth or the towel? So you have a machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai omrim, mechabdin is abayis v'akach noitlin liyadayim. Here we're toward the end of the meal. Mechabdin is a word meaning the sweeping of the house, the sweeping of the floor. So the area on which they ate shall be swept up. According to Beis Shammai, first the sweeping, and then the washing of the mayim achronim, the water that one washes his hands with at the end of the meal. Ubeis Hillel omrim notlin liyadayim ve'acha mechabdin sabayis. First one washes the mayim achronim, and then does the sweeping. Beis Shammai omrim, and here is this following piece is a reference to the Motzoi Shabbos or Motzoi Yom Tov when there is a Havdalah that's recited. This would have to be primarily a Shabbos because we're going to make reference to a candle, and we're also talking about someone that has only one cup of wine available. So he finished eating, and he also has to recite Havdalah, and the Birchas HaMazon requires a cup of wine. At least we're working with that idea as we go on in the Gemara, and you know, as we're going to be using a cup of wine for the Birchas HaMazon as well as Havdalah. What is the order in which brachas are recited? So Beis Shammai omrim ner u'mazon u'besamim v'Havdalah. Then we're on Motzoi Shabbos, a Saturday night, so we'll make a bracha over the candle, then over the Birchas HaMazon, then the besamim, and then Havdalah. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel omrim ner u'besamim v'Havdalah v'Havdalah. You'll notice with our markings how nicely things stand out. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai don't disagree regarding the first and the fourth brachas. Both have Ner in the one position and Havdalah in the four position. They do argue, though, over the order of the issue of the Besamim and the Birchas HaMazon. Another difference, Beis Shammai Omrim, Shebora Ma'or Ha'esh, in terms of the bracha over wine, Beis Shammai's text is Shebora Ma'or Ha'esh, Beis Hillel Omrim, Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh. So one is in the singular and one is in the plural. Beis Hillel is in the plural form. The blessing over the Almighty who created Me'orei Ha'esh, different lights of the fire. Ein Ma'avorchin, Lo Al Haner V'Avsom Shel Akum. This section of Mishnah is not taught as a point of controversy, but just as different halachas are spelled out. And they concern the Ner and the Besamim of Havdalah. So he says, Ein Mevorchen, one does not say a bracha over the Olo al Ner v'al Besamim shel Akum, not on a candle nor on the fragrances of a Gentile, of an idol worshipper. V'lo al Haner v'al Besamim shel Mesim, nor those that are associated with the dead. V'lo al haner v'ab somim shalvodizor, nor on the candle or on fragrances that are dedicated or associated with idolatry. The ein mevorchen al haner atshia usiloro, and one does not make the bracha on the candle, on the fire, until he benefits from its light. Mishocha v'shochach v'lo birech, one who ate and forgot to make the Birchas HaMazon, to say the Birchas HaMazon after he ate. And then he remembers sometime later. Beis Shammai omrim, yachzur l'mekomo v'yivorech. Beis Shammai says, you shall go back to the place that you ate and make the Birchas HaMazon, recite it over there. Beis Hillel omrim, yivorech b'mokom shenizkar. It's sufficient to say the Birchas HaMazon where you remembered that you had not said it. The ad mosai mevorech, how much time does one have during which he can still say the Birchas HaMazon regarding someone who forgot and didn't say Birchas HaMazon immediately after finishing the meal? So how much time does he have? Ad kidei shisakel hamazon shemayav, until the food gets digested in his system. Ba'alohen yayin achar hamazon. Wine becomes available or comes to them after the meal. Im ein shom el oisai kais, if that is the only cup of wine that is still left. Beis Shammai omrim mevorach al hayayin v'acha mevorach al hamazon. It should make the bracha on the wine and then a bracha over the food. Ubeis Hillel omrim mevorach al hamazon v'acha mevorach al hayayin. Well, Rashi points out that this will be explained in the Gemara. The Mishnah says that if a Jew made a bracha, so you answer Amen to someone who you know as a Jew. However, someone who you know as a Kusi, you don't recite Amen to his bracha. Ach yishma kol bracha kula, until you hear the entire text of the bracha. The case of the Kusi is we're dealing with people who originally converted to Judaism, but there were questionable circumstances that arose concerning their conversion, so that you can't be sure if their bracha is being recited as a proper bracha, or they insert some type of alien text, and then you would be answering Amen, which is an expression of confirmation to something that's alien and forbidden to say. Before we begin the Gemara, we just glance at the side and see the topic that we're about to learn under the Nose heading, Machlokes Beisham Yisilo, B'Seder HaBrochas HaKiddush Yom, O Shel Kiddush, is Yom, O Yayin, Eze Kodem. We're dealing with the order of Brochas, and we saw in the Mishnah this Machlokes, is the Broch over the day, the sanctification of the day, or over the wine, the Bori Pirei Gefen Brocha, which one comes first? So our Gemara opens with a Tanaic source, Tana Rabbanan, Devarim Shebein Beisham Beisilo Besuda, points of difference between these two schools of thought regarding meals. Beisham Ayomrim Mevorech Alayom V'Achim Mevorech Alayayin. The order is first the Kiddush, the text of the Kiddush, and then the Brocha of Borei Pri HaGefen. Why in that order? Point one. Shayoim Gurim Liayin Shiavo. The fact that we're dealing with a day, a holy day, so it causes the wine to be brought out. In other words, why are we bringing this cup of wine? Because it is Shabbos, because we want to sanctify the Shabbos. So that the day gets precedence. It's the cause of the wine to be brought in the first place. And point number two, Ukvar Kidesh Hayom Vadayin Yayin Lo Ba. The day reaches sanctity upon the entrance of the day. Either from the point you accept upon yourself the Shabbos, or from the emergence of three stars, which indicates it's formally night, and the wine still hasn't been brought out, meaning that people are still out at prayer. They're out davening. They're out shul, and only after they finish davening will they come to sit down to have their meal. So, what in terms of order of appearance, if you will, you see that the day sets in, the holy day sets in, and then only afterwards the wine is brought forth. So, Beis Shammai is of the opinion that you say bracha first on the sanctification of the day, and then the wine. Beis Hillel omrim bracha yayin v'achav mevoracha yom. Beis Hillel has the opposite order. Why first the wine and then the bracha on the day? Shayayin goreim l'kiddusha sh'teomer. It's the wine that causes the Kiddush passage to be recited. In other words, the only reason you're reciting the Kiddush passage is because you have a cup of wine. So the wine is given priority. Dover Achir, another explanation. Birchas Hayayin Tadir, Birchas Hayom Eino Tadir. Another explanation why Beis Hillel says first the broch over the wine is that the Birchas Hayayin Tadir, it's on a more regular, more common basis. Birchas Hayom Eino Tadir. Birchas Yom, the sanctification of a day, is something that is not as regular. And we have a rule, Tadir Vesheno Tadir, Tadir Kodem, when you have something that's more of a more regular occurring nature and something less regular, so that which occurs more regularly is given precedence, is Kodem. Tadir means something that's on a higher level of frequency or regularity. The halacha kedivrei Beis Hillel, and the source concludes with this ruling that the halacha shall follow the ruling of Beis Hillel. That means you'll first make the bracha over the wine, and then the kiddush, the sanctification of the day. My dover acher, why was it necessary for Beis Hillel to insert a second reason? V'chitema, like without that, you might have thought hosam tarti v'ochochado. Well, Beis Shammai gave us two explanations to back up his shita, and they were we saw the two explanations, and to back up his shita that first, the Kiddush Hayom, the sanctification of the day, bracha, and then the wine, bracha said, and two reasons. Verses one would give more significance to the Beis Shammai side of things. So to that we say, Hochinami, Tarti, Ninhu. So too over here, with regard to Beis Hillel, there are two reasons to have the Birchas Hayayin first. One is Birchas Hayayin Tadira, Birchas Hayom Eino Tadira, Toshin Tadir, Tadir Kodem. So that was the second reason. We had his, Beis Hillel already had his first reason in the when it was initial appearance of Beis Hillel, and that was that the Yayin is Gorim for the Kiddush to be said. So say the Bracha on the wine, it's the cause of the Kiddush being said. And then the second reason was the issue of frequency, that the bracha over the wine is going to be is more frequent than the bracha over the kiddush that comes only at fixed times, whereas wine is something that one could actually drink every day, even a couple times a day. V'halocha k'divrei Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says that the source that taught that the halocha shall follow Beis Hillel pshita. It's obvious that the halacha is going to follow Beis Hillel. Deha nafka baskol, a heavenly voice once emerged and announced that we follow the halacha of Beis Hillel. So why does this Tanaic source have to add that expression of halacha to Beis Hillel? So ibo yisema kodem baskol. There are several opinions several explanations why it's necessary to be taught the halachos like Beis Hillel in light of the fact there was a heavenly voice saying thusly. So the first explanation is Kodem Baskol. This source that said halacha de Beis Hillel was before the Baskol, before the heavenly voice was ever heard. V'boi Seimo, the Achar Baskol. The other approach is that in fact this statement of halacha de Beis Hillel is after the Baskol proclaimed halacha should be like Beis Hillel. Continuing at the top of Nun Beis, Omid Aleph, for Yeshua He, this source that spells out the like Beis Hillel is in the, along the lines or in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua that said Ein Mashgichin Babaskol, that one does not pay attention to rulings that are issued by heavenly voices. This concludes today's Dafyomi shiur of the Gemara Markings Daf Yomi presentation. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.